you're in the 06010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Welcome into the CSS DFS Podcast. I am Daniel Dopp. To my left is Mike Clay. On a massive LED screen in front of me is Al Zeidenfeld. Al, what's up, buddy? Good to see you, man.
Hi, I'm huge.
You are very large. You are very large. The LED screen that he is in front of, that he's a part of, is probably, I don't know, 20 feet tall by 20 feet wide?
Only 20 feet?
You think it's bigger than that?
Well, I'm seeing... Maybe. It might be.
The center screen is maybe 20 feet. Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway.
I'm a marshmallow man of fantasy football.
It's a little awkward. Please don't yell at us at any point in the show, because I might get scared.
It's real big.
Might vibrate the whole sofa and studio, but anyway.
Mike Clay, a leftover from the season-long show earlier today. We figured that he was already here, so we might as well keep him around.
Yeah, that's... Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Listen, guys, as we have said every single week, join our free weekly contest with unlimited participants. Free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes. Sometimes we win it. Sometimes we let you guys have the money. You know, that's just how it depends on how good we set our lineups. This week, some of us set our lineups real good.
Yeah, moving on to the quarterbacks.
Real well.
The week nine quarterback. Look, I'll give you props. Good right week. Out of the gate here. 2 weeks in a row. Dominant efforts.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. T-Dust came up with 220 points last week. Won our league. Congratulations to T-Dust. That was fantastic. I finished with 178. I got really lucky with, lucky, but also DK Metcalf and Dalvin Cook just absolutely crushed it. I had Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen. They both looked really good.
I had Jimmy Garoppolo. So how do you think my week went?
Probably the same way that the week went when I started Tyrod Taylor, but then his team doctor punctured his lung and none of us knew about it. So then Justin Herbert started. That's probably how you felt, having a quarterback barely play at all in a game.
So you're saying that I get an asterisk.
No, you do not get one. Mine happened before the game.
Oh, that's weird. Technicalities. By the way, just full discretion here. I already submitted my lineup for our head-to-head this week. Of course you didn't. I mean, you just wait till I
have my lineup right here.
So you
it
know
is on my phone.
I have.
I don't put it on the sheet because I don't want you to copy off me, Mike Clay.
Yeah, mine was already there. Well, before yours. I mean, yours still isn't there. Mine has been there since yesterday. So whatever. I mean, I know you need to find edges
to try
and win.
You're the worst.
You can't just beat me even. You need these asterisks and you need to wait to see my lineup and read all my content. I get it, man. I get it. Now, look, I'm flattered.
I don't know how we're best friends, in all honesty.
I'm flattered. So I appreciate the support. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So let's talk about support here. All right. Let's talk about support with some quarterbacks, because we've got two guys that both could support each other's huge fantasy days. Everyone throws just a bunch of touchdowns, and Russell Wilson and Josh Allen. Mike, I just kind of want you to break down both of these quarterbacks in this matchup.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I'm not sure if this is going to end up being the chalk game of the week. It certainly seems like it should be, in my mind. I'm going to be all over it in cash games for sure, as, again, we'll get to when we drop our lineups later. But, I'm gonna steal the form here for a little bit and run through both of these guys, Russell Wilson and Josh Allen, playing against each other. Wilson checks in at 7,600 against his Bills defense. He's priced lower than Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray this week. He has 21 or more fantasy points in every game. He has 5 top fives in his 7 games. He has 26 passing touchdowns to lead the NFL. I mean, his career high is 35. He's already at 26. It's unbelievable what he's done so far this season. Also, 5th in carries. This is the pass heaviest offense in the NFL. And by the way, the Bills defense, we think of it as an intimidating unit. They're only mid-pack against quarterbacks. They allow 24 or more points to Miami, the Rams, the Titans, 20 to Derek Carr, 21 to Patrick Mahomes, 18 to Cameron Newton. So how are they mid-pack allowing all that production? Well, they played the Jets twice, total of 12 fantasy points. It's kind of dropped their numbers down, context important. So like Wilson a lot here. And then Josh Allen, he is 7K this week, the 5th highest priced quarterback. He was really good to open the season. His finishes have been weak lately, 15th or worse 4 straight weeks. But let's break it down. And I did talk about this on the earlier podcast, but bear with me here. This is his slump. This is his production during this so-called slump through 4 weeks. 2 passing touchdowns against Tennessee, fine. He didn't run in that game, kind of fluky. Had a dud against Kansas City. Great defense this year. They shut him down. How about the Jets game? 307 passing yards and 61 rushing yards. But they didn't score a touchdown. It was a fluke. They had 8 field goal attempts. It was just a weird game. And then last week against New England, again, another pretty good defense. Only 18 passing attempts did bail you out a little bit with a rushing touchdown. So I think he'll be fine. He's fifth at quarterback in passing yards, sixth in rushing yards, has 16 pass and 4 rushing touchdowns this season. And it's a great matchup just to finish up here. Seahawks, second most fantasy points to quarterbacks. The top in pretty much every category, completions, yards, attempts, most rushes, most rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks, fourth most rushing yards. Cam, Fitzpatrick, Kyler Murray all crushed them on the ground, and we know Josh Allen can run. So I appreciate you giving me that form. I just wanted to run through both of those guys out of the gate here. Both of them terrific plays.
Absolutely. That was really good. I know we're not going to totally break down all of the Buffalo wide receivers in the wide receiver section, but I do just quickly want to ask you, Stephon Diggs and John Brown. I know this is a little bit out of order from what we normally do.
Yeah.
You like them this week, or do you not like them this week, yep, given this, you know, as a stack option here?
Yeah, and we'll work into this game more throughout the show. Stack opportunities all over the place with Allen, Diggs, Brown. Maybe you want some Cole Beasley. Maybe you want Devin Singletary or Zach Moss in some sort of capacity, probably not with Allen. And then, of course, Russell Wilson with his, I'm told he has good receivers there. I'm actually going to talk about Tyler Lockett, foreshadowing in a little bit, but certainly great, great tournament and cash game options here. Al, I presume you agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's been pretty simple, right? Just stack Russ with one or both of his pass catchers, bring it back with the other side, or just use the other quarterback and stack with one or both of Lockett and Metcalf. So I like both of those choices that you got there at quarterback.
So all of the things I just said, he just said in a nutshell there in like
two seconds. Faster.
So way faster.
Way faster.
He's nothing if not efficient. I am the opposite. I am thorough. You are efficient. So what we're saying is start those guys.
Start those guys. Start those guys. Appreciate that. Al, talk to us about Deshaun Watson, because he's another. Look at this. Russell Wilson, $7,600. Josh Allen, $7,000. Deshaun Watson, $7,100. Is this part of the slate this week where the higher-priced quarterbacks just fit better within the budget, or is there something to these first three guys where it's just sort of worked out that way?
I mean, we've kind of talked all year about how DraftKings has had some inefficiencies in the pricing. I think that they've been very efficient and very spot-on with the quarterback pricing. They've priced up all these guys that have 30 to 35 point ceilings on every single week with 25 point floors and that are very stackable. So like there's cheaper guys that you can go with. There are every single week around 6,000 this week, reaching down to like 5,500. If you really want to chase after it, you can go with the Lions quarterback at 4K if Stafford remains out this week. So there's definitely cheaper options, but the premium guys with the premium stacks in the best spots seem to be 7K or above. And Deshaun Watson at 7,100. Has been just that since week 4, after he got out of that ridiculous triangle of the first 3 weeks that he had against Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, three of the better defenses or worst spots in the league to attack. He's put up 27 DraftKings points, 35, 29, 23.9 DraftKings points. Great floor, always has access to a great ceiling. Last time he faced this Jacksonville team, put up just under 30 DraftKings points. We know where the ball is going to go, also with a very condensed target tree that he has. So love Deshaun Watson this week.
Okay. Al, I also want to talk really quickly about Kyler in tournaments, because when you look at Kyler Murray, obviously it's what he's able to do with his legs and with his arm, obviously fantastic. So just break down this tournament strategy that you have here for us.
Okay, so like Kyler gives you a great floor with his rushing yards per game. He also gives you access to a ceiling because of the fact that he has scored as many rushing touchdowns as he has played games this year. So we get a floor and ceiling from him on the ground. He also has multiple touchdown upside through the air. We haven't seen him really eclipse the 300-yard bonus very often, but this is another great spot to go to him. Again, a guy that's got a very condensed target tree to throw to, so we know where the ball is going to go when it comes out of his hands, so very stackable, as well as having great players to bring it back with. I think that Kyler is a fantastic tournament play this week because you can pay up to be contrarian if you stack him with Nook Hopkins.
Yep, agree. Watson, Murray, both fine tournament plays. Agree, agree for sure. And I'll throw Justin Herbert into that mix. Al's been talking about him for weeks. 264 plus passing yards and 3 plus passing touchdowns in 4 straight games. I've said that stat like 40 times this week, but can't drive it home enough. He's had a high floor and a high ceiling, and he's facing the Raiders, who he can throw on.
Absolutely. It has been so great to watch both him and Joe Burrow rookie quarterbacks come in and just crush it.
I hope
Burrow's a little more upside.
I hope Tua gets going too, because this, I was thinking about this the other day. Could this be the next like Rivers, Big Ben, Eli class? I mean,
yeah,
maybe if Tua's the real deal, it's possible. So, so far so good for at least Burrow and Herbert. They've been terrific.
Absolutely. Speaking of these college quarterbacks turn pro, ESPNU Radio on SiriusXM is where you need to be if you live and breathe college football. We're talking live games, the latest rankings, conference and team news, analysis from experts like Mark Packer, Greg McElroy, and EJ Manuel, all leading up to championship specials and more. Take SiriusXM with you and always have the latest college football info you need. Listen right now on the SiriusXM app or online at SiriusXM.com/listenESPNU. All right, let's talk about some running backs here, Mike, because James Conner, $6,900. It's a pretty nice price point here for James, taking on the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Is this a situation of you really like what James Conner has done in recent weeks and how he's been playing, or is this a part of the Dallas defense or a little bit of both?
It is a little bit of both, and I don't think I've ever featured Conner in this section.
I don't think you have.
I just don't. His price is always higher than his production, I think, is, and he's had a lot of injuries as well. But I like the value here against the Cowboys. He's the fifth highest price running back, so it's not like it's super cheap, but it still comes in as a value. He's had a tremendous floor, 15-plus carries and 14-plus fantasy points in six straight games. That's 17.3 carries and 17.8 fantasy points per game. Think about that compared to his price point, just under 7K. That's terrific. 3.2 targets per game during that span. He has six straight top 20 weeks, including three top 10s among running backs. That shows you that floor he is delivering. And then you have the Cowboys defense. Very little receiving production allowed to running backs, but they're terrible against the rush. The most rushes, the second most rushing yards, eight touchdowns and 5.0 yards per carry allowed. And again, Conner will get you a little bit as a pass catcher, but even if they shut that down, where he delivers is as a ball carrier. We expect the Steelers to lead and win this game. And if that's the case, 20 to 25 carries are on the table, as are a couple touchdowns. Love the play.
Okay. Love that, Mike Clay. Al, I want to talk to you about Justin Jackson, $4,900, taking on the Raiders at home. This is one of the things, as we have talked about this, and I've noticed the players that usually we feature here that we talk about kind of fit that, especially with running backs, that like five-tiered box. What is it that you called it? The five checkboxes? The
five-box running back.
Yes, the five-box running backs. Is Justin Jackson a five-box running back this week?
I mean, he appears to be so. Two of the last three games with Austin Ekeler out, he has top 20 touches. He is playing at home. They are favored. I don't have his inside the five carries in front of me right now, but let's hope that he can get a couple of those. And he's involved in the passing game with five, six, and six targets each of the last 3 weeks. So at least we have that passing game floor. We know that the Chargers should be playing ahead, and this is a great matchup against the Raiders. I mean, this is a team that we've been streaming running backs against all year. Opponents are throwing 9.1 passes per game to running backs against Las Vegas, third most in the league. I mentioned that Jackson has five or more targets in each of the last three games. So great floor, possibility for a ceiling here as he ripped off both long runs and catches last week, a 20-yard run and a 30-yard reception against Denver.
Okay. I want to talk about two of the running backs here real quick before we move on. Matt Breida and this whole Dolphins running back situation. Matt Breida is only $4,000 this week. Obviously, waiting to see if he plays, Mike, but kind of break down this Dolphins running back situation against the Cardinals this week.
Yeah, Matt Breida is able to go, and again, he's, I would say, maybe 30% chance right now. It's not looking good, so we kind of put him on here. We wanted to talk about him just in case he goes 4K against Arizona. I think he'll be in the 13 to 14 touch range. Arizona has a lot of the 10th most fantasy points to running back, so there's an opportunity if he's the guy. If he's out, and remember, Miles Gaskin, if you missed the news, he's out. He's on IR, so he's not playing either. It becomes more of a headache, right? I know a lot of people are going to be on Patrick Laird. He's going to be super cheap. He's the pass catcher. Could be a little value there. But Jordan Howard might get the touchdown, the goal line work. I mean, he has eight carries inside the five this year. No other Dolphin is four. And he was a healthy scratch for three games. So he has been that guy near the goal line. And, you know, they also have Salvin Ahmed, too, the undrafted rookie. Who knows? He could be out of nowhere involved. So it's unpredictable. And I think it's only worth the tournament flyer. I would not want to bother with this in a cash situation.
Al, feel the same in that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a holding pattern here waiting to see who's actually going to be the guy.
Right.
Laird great in the passing game. Howard could vulture everything. It's just a mess, and they're all the same price. They're all 4K. None of these are cash game plays. If you want a tournament dart throw, there you go.
As far as a tournament play, is DeAndre Swift somebody that you could consider this week?
Yeah, I like him. Al and I, again, in our show meeting, we're talking kind of through DeAndre Swift a little bit. And the reason I really like him this week is people are down on him. They're worried about him after what happened last week. I'm the opposite. I felt, as soon as I saw his usage in that game, knowing people were upset with his performance, I thought, this is the week to get back in on DeAndre Swift. His price is down 3,000. He's down to 5K against Minnesota. And look, it was a very low-volume game for Detroit. They were about 10 to 13 plays below the NFL average in plays per game. That will regress up, certainly. He played a season high in snaps in that game. He played 62%. He also handled 50% of their carries. That is a season high as well. He has 4+ targets in 6 of 7 games, and the Vikings, it's a mediocre matchup. They're mid-pack against running back. So I want to go right back to the well because I'm sure his rostership will be down from where it was last week because people are scared off, and that's what I want. I want to go back to the well and see what other people aren't seeing, and I think that's an edge. What do you think, Al?
I want to get a little more granular with you on this one. So how does your projection, or do you know off the top of your head? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, obviously. But how will your projection for DeAndre Swift change with Stafford at quarterback or with Daniel at quarterback? Because I think that that's a major key to how efficient that offense is going to be. Are they going to stay on the field? Are they going to fail on third down? Or does it not matter?
When you said Daniel, I thought you meant him. And it's a fair set. I thought you meant Daniel Dobbs.
I mean, they just contacted Dobbs' lawyer to see if he can suit up this weekend.
Yeah, I don't even know. He's not even on the practice squad right now, right? So they'd have to sign him. They have Tyler Bray. But you're right. It could be some confusion there. And certainly that makes me more pessimistic. He's still a tournament option because people will be even further off of him in that scenario. And who knows, maybe Tyler Bray throws him 7 passes. We don't know. So his projection will drop a little bit. But I think right now, we don't know for sure, but right now I feel confident that Matthew Stafford will play in that game. But again, we don't know that for sure. So we'll see. We have to let that play out.
Okay. Another couple of running backs just to mention real quick. David Johnson taking on the Jaguars. Dalvin Cook versus Detroit after that monster game last week. And you know Detroit.
Another good matchup. Yeah.
David Montgomery against the Titans and Josh Jacobs against the Chargers. All guys that we like this week. Let's talk about some wide receivers here. Tyler Lockett, Mike kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier in the show. If you're looking for a stack with Russell Wilson or a comeback if you have a Bills stack, Tyler Lockett is the Seahawks wide receiver you like at $6,800 this week, Mike.
I do, and at first I thought that's a mistake. Like, there's no way he's $6,800. He is the number one scoring fantasy receiver this season. But then you realize he has had 3 duds his past 4 games, right? He had that huge game. The other 3 were like 6, 5, and 7 points. That wasn't good. But he's still the 10th highest priced wide receiver in this slate. It's still too low. He has 8 or more targets in 4 games. Yes, he has 5 or fewer in 3 of his past 4. But nonetheless, for the season, a 26% target share, 31% of the air yards. And here's the key. You know, we've kind of been going back and forth. Is this a Metcalf week? Is it a Lockett week? I think this will be a Lockett week, and here's why. DK Metcalf, primarily, not DJ, by the way. He noted on Twitter, it's not DJ Metcalf. Not DJ. It is DK Metcalf. Yes. I think we've all gotten that correct, but someone didn't. So Metcalf primarily lines up on the perimeter. Tre'Davious White doesn't really shadow the slot. He only lines up outside. So Metcalf's the perimeter guy. White will shadow him, 99% sure on that. Things could change, but that would be my guess, barring a major philosophical change. Tyler Lockett, meanwhile, is the slot receiver for Seattle. He'll be on Taron Johnson. Buffalo has allowed the 11th most fantasy points to the slot. So like it a lot. The Bills, they haven't allowed a lot of fantasy production to receivers this season, but consider their competition. The Jets twice, Miami, the Raiders, the Titans without Corey Davis, the Chiefs, the Jets, again, I guess I already said the Jets twice total, and the Rams actually crushed them, 242 through the air and 2 touchdowns. So the guys like Jamison Crowder, Isaiah Ford, Devontae Parker, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, A.J. Brown, all had big games against the Bills. I think Lockett can do it in this situation without having to face Tre'Davious White. So love him this week.
Okay. Al, you want to talk about Brandon Cooks, $5,500 taken on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm curious with Brandon Cooks. $5,500 feels like a nice price point. But it feels like he hasn't been the wide receiver that I'd sort of hoped he had become here. What is it about this matchup that you like?
Well, I mean, if you haven't noticed, and judging by the amount of talk that's going on about Brandon Cooks, you haven't. If you extrapolated his last 3 games over a full season, he's on pace for 128 catches with 1,541 yards. Mike, can you run that through the stat machine? That's good, right? That comes out
Seems
as good.
Good. That is good.
Okay, good. He's confirmed. Only 5,500. I mean, he's been ridiculous since he got the greasy wheel, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease narrative back in week 5 against Jacksonville. 12 targets, 9 targets, 9 targets. If we assume that his volume is going to stay similar, 7+ targets a week moving forward, he's too cheap at 5,500 for a team that is basically involved in a shootout every single week. Their offense is really good and efficient. Their defense is really bad and inefficient. So that leads to fantasy goodness, if you will. And that's something that we should be targeting week in and week out. The price is too low. Touchdown equity is there. Volume's great. He could pay off this salary on volume alone. And if he wanders into the end zone, it'd be an absolute smash.
And his, just to pile on because I agree with you. His best game so far was less than a month ago against the same team he's playing this week, the Jags. 8 catches on 12 targets, 161 yards, and a touchdown. That's the game that really got him going, and he's been doing pretty well since that point.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of doing pretty well since that point, is there any chance that the Lions can do pretty well if they don't have Matthew Stafford? When you're looking at both of these wide receivers, Marvin Jones, $5,100, Danny Amendola, $3,700.
When I first saw the news about Matthew Stafford, first thought was, I hope him and his family are healthy and okay. Hopefully it was just exposure. He was close to someone.
Yep.
My second thought was, no Kenny Golladay. Like, yeah, Marvin Jones and Danny Amendola and TJ Hockenson. Like, we have all these guys filed into our lineup, so hopefully, no, but seriously, I just want full discretion. It's all about the health of players,
course,
and their family.
Of course,
right? You know, so, yeah. But look, if Stafford's able to go in this game, we love these guys. I mean, Marvin Jones, $5,100, Danny Amendola, $3,700 against Minnesota. It's a great matchup. Jones has been better lately, 80 yards in week 7. He had 2 touchdowns last week. And if we look back to weeks 1 and 2, remember, we have some of a sample here with Kenny Golladay out weeks 1 and 2. Marvin Jones had 15 targets. Danny Amendola had 14 in those games. And Jones was led the team. So they were very close. And we know Minnesota struggled 5 weeks, allowing 38-plus fantasy points to wide receivers this season. Third most overall to that position. They struggled against the slot, outside, you name it. They're running out of names. I mean, have you heard of Harrison Hand or Chris Boyd or Mark Fields or Holton Hill?
No.
No, those are the kind of
they
guys.
They have Mr. Hand?
Huh?
They have Mr. Hand in the defensive backfield?
Mr. Hand is going to be all trying to cover Marvin Jones this week is what's going to be happening, very possibly. Some of these guys are on the injured list. Cameron Dantzler as well, Jeff Gladney in the slot. I mean, they have some problems at that spot. So I think both of these guys at their price points, especially Jones, are terrific plays in cash and tournaments.
Heck yeah. All right, love that. Give me some stuff. Al, I want to talk to you about this too. Give me some stuff here on the Pittsburgh wide receivers, because it feels like every week we're just on this up and down, who's going to be the guy this week? You know, it's like the Seahawks, but then you add another wide receiver to the mix. Mm-hmm. So how is it that you're assessing the Pittsburgh's the Steelers wide receiver this week against a really bad Dallas defense?
Go ahead, Al.
Go ahead, Mike. No, please.
I'm feeling pretty good about mixing them in. I mean, yeah. I don't know who to pick. That's the problem. Chase Claypool is $5,700. He had 9 targets last week. He's playing full time now. You know, he's past James Washington. He's in this rotation as a top three receiver, so that's good. He's a fine play. Juju Smith-Schuster, $6,200, so he's the most expensive, which scares you off a little bit, but 23 targets over his past 2 games. Not scoring touchdowns, but the volume's good. And then Deontay Johnson is the cheapest, which is somewhat surprising. 5K, first 3 games, he had double-digit targets every game, 11, 14, and 14, but only 3 last week, which makes you a little bit nervous. It was a tough matchup against the Ravens, of course, but it's a great matchup. We expect the Steelers to throw it a bit. 7th most fantasy points allowed to receivers for Dallas this season. The only concern here is if you pick the wrong guy and James Conner scores a couple touchdowns, and say you go with Deontay and Juju and Claypool scores 2, and then it's a blowout and they just run the ball.
Yeah.
That could happen with dealing with 3 guys in this game. It probably won't be a shootout.
Al, I'm curious, how is it that you would assess the situation then from a cash game perspective? Because, you know, from that perspective, we're talking about it, right? Tournaments. Yeah. You're looking for that big play, that upside. But in a cash game, it almost feels like these guys are a little bit harder to try to find the right spot into your lineup, given the uncertainty with these wide receivers.
Yeah, because like cash games, I'm looking for volume over pretty much everything. Now, Deontay Johnson usually has been that when he's come into games and been healthy, but he hasn't stayed healthy in a lot of those games. The ones he has been and stayed healthy, he's been an absolute monster. I think that there's other routes that we can go in cash games this week, because I don't know if the volume is going to be there. If Roethlisberger is extremely efficient, we might get a couple of touchdowns for these guys, but I don't think that any of them are head-to-head 50-50, what I call cash game plays, right? They're more, you want to take a one-off stab at one of these guys for a tournament where you don't even have to stack or bring it back with somebody on Dallas, because that offense has been ridiculously inefficient. But the highest leverage play, in my opinion, is the one that we did not mention. I think Connor is the straightforward play that we should be going to in this game. I think for the wide receivers, as Mike said, pick one as a one-off. You don't have to stack or bring back with either of those guys or use Roethlisberger. But for me, it's Eric Ebron with the amount of end zone and red zone usage that he has, and he's going to be less than 5% in tournaments. where you can leverage the Connor plays, and you can leverage all the people that want to try and pick between which wide receiver is going to get it. 5-6 targets with possibly an end zone target. He could find 2 touchdowns in this game very easily and leverage the field in your lineups.
Okay. A couple of other wide receivers we want to quickly mention. Stephon Diggs taking on Seattle. Obviously, we mentioned that if you like the stack. Keenan Allen, we mentioned Justin Herbert earlier. Love that there as well. Darnell Mooney is a guy that makes our list every single week. Is this an air yards thing? I mean, you hit one time and it's worth it.
And it hit last week, right?
Yep.
The air yards hit. He had a long catch in that game, and he's playing well. He's a big part of that offense, and he's super cheap. And he's playing the Titans, who can't stop the pass.
Sterling Shepard taking on Washington, and then on the other side, Terry McLaurin taking on the Giants. Do you like both of those guys back-to-back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Washington's been really good against receivers, but the volume for Shepard going back to the beginning of last season is crazy. I mean, he has 5-plus targets in every game he's played since the beginning of last year. I mean,
that's incredible.
The floor is crazy, and that might not seem like a high number, but it is. I mean, that consistency is. There's only like maybe 3 people on that list, so... you certainly like what you've gotten out of Sterling Shepard so far. So maybe that's one of those secondary stacks there for you, Al, with Shepard and McLaurin.
Yep.
Al, do you own or rent your home?
Yes, both.
I assumed that you rented your home. Sure you do. I'll bet it can be hard work too, huh? You know what's easy though? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, Mike, let's talk about the tight ends here as we wrap this up. Darren Waller, 5,800, going against the Los Angeles Chargers. Here's the only thing for Darren Waller that I just want to go back and forth with is I feel like he has up and down weeks, and it's just the efficiency of that Raiders offense. This week, though, against the Chargers, point me in the right direction. Make me feel good about this.
Well, you can feel good because, I mean, what can we rely on at tight end, right? We went through it on the Wednesday Fantasy Focus podcast. We just went through all of the names of all the options and picked them apart. I mean, it's tough, but Waller is one of the guys you can feel relatively good about. He is 5,800 in this one. He's the second highest priced tight end, but he's 1,400 less than Travis Kelce. You can do a lot with that cash. He's the number 2 scoring tight end this season, despite serving his bye already. He has 4 top 5 weeks, so he's been getting you pretty decent production. 6 or more targets in 6 of 7 games. How many tight ends can say that? Not many, obviously, averaging just under 9 per game. 88 plus yards or a touchdown in 3 of his past 4. So again, he's been delivering as of late. You like to see that.
You like that?
And the Chargers, 10th most fantasy points allowed to tight ends. 5 touchdowns, that's 8th most. They were crushed by Travis Kelce, crushed by the Buccaneers tight ends, crushed by Noah Fant. They allowed a touchdown to Jared Cook. And their only other games against tight ends, Cincy, Carolina, Jacksonville, none of them used the tight end. So, I mean, they have not been good when presented against good tight ends, and that's what Darren Waller is.
He is a good tight end. That is analysis, Al.
Yeah, I'm good on the I'm all in on players who are good at football.
Me too. Speaking of another player that's good at football, Hayden Hurst, $4,100 taken on Denver. Is this about Hayden Hurst and the target share that he's getting, or is this about Denver, or is it a little bit of both?
Yes. Okay. So Double H, Hayden Hurst Helmsley, has been outstanding this year with 6 or more targets in 6 of his 8 games so far. So the volume has been outstanding, 10-plus DraftKings points in each of the last 3 games. And now with Ridley not here, now that should be sustainable moving forward, where his routes per dropback is going to be really high. He should see more service inside the red zone, so touchdown equity. And he's priced at like $4,100, where somebody, now Daniel, please don't take offense to this.
I'm like, sorry, yes.
TJ Hockenson should not be like over $5,000, and Hayden Hurst priced $1,000 below that, considering that the volume has been completely flipped, where Hockenson's getting a touchdown to reach value every week, and Hurst is getting there on volume alone. So give me the guy who's getting there on volume, and if he finds a touchdown, it's a smash play, as opposed to the guy where you have to hope that he catches a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
I do like smash plays, though.
That's a good, just a good word, a good phrase.
Yeah.
Smash play. I got to work that into my life more.
I
these Lucky Charms are a smash play.
That's breakfast. A smash play. That's the coolest way I've ever heard Lucky Charms described before.
They're on my mind because my 4-year-old, I told you this.
Oh, yeah, we had this story.
My 4-year-old had an election at a preschool yesterday, and the school had to vote on morning snack. It was either Lucky Charms or Goldfish.
And after everything was tallied in, what did it
Yeah, I did some exit polling. Two students had chosen Lucky Charms, so they had the early edge. But when it all was said and done, Lucky Charms did, in fact,
win.
They did win. That was It was big. So
I wrote in Applejacks.
Well, that was a waste of a vote.
All right. A couple other tight ends we just quickly want to mention here. Hunter Henry going up against the Raiders. Jimmy Graham against Tennessee. And Evan Engram against Washington. Evan Engram gets a ton. We talked about this again on the season-long show. If you take his name away from what you see in that target list and his production, you know, he's had a couple of games here and there that have not been great, but you'd say, yep, I'll sign up for that based on what the tight end position has been this year.
No doubt. And he's been performing as a fringe tight end one. He's had a high floor as of late, for sure.
Yep. All right. It's that time of the show where we go to our lineups to decide which one of us is the better person, better analyst, better friend. Which one of us is the best friend of the other person?
Well, again, you already have seen my lineup because I can't see yours.
That's accurate.
You already know mine.
I do know yours.
But anyway, so this is not intentional, but I actually have a little bit of a tournament feel, right? So this is just the way it worked out. So I have Josh Allen at quarterback, but I also have his top receiver, Stephon Diggs, in this lineup, and also Tyler Lockett coming back in that game. So
okay. This
could be maybe even a tournament play as well. So a high floor, high ceiling sort of lineup. Like that a lot. But also running backs, David Johnson comes in at 5,600. We have James Conner, who we talked about. I have, again, every week, this is like a joke on Twitter now for people who follow us. Like, we have to change our lineups every week. It just occurred to me I have Matt Breida in here, and he's looking doubtful right now. So I might have to shake this up a little bit, but perhaps I can find a value play there at running back. He's, for now, though, he is in there. Marvin Jones, also, we talked about him, like him at receiver. Hunter Henry fits in there at tight end at only 4K. And the Texans defense at 3,100, a tremendous value this week against a rookie, six-round rookie quarterback there for Jacksonville. So like him as well.
Well, Mike, I didn't look at your lineup. I swear I did not look at your lineup.
You're just changing it right now.
I don't. I switch it around a little bit in the middle of the show if I start to look and see, like, oh, great, we're so close. But, like, I couldn't figure out a way to be able to do it. But I don't want to go into it being like, if we pick the same lineup, then you know what? For our listeners, I think there's a part of that that's like, we kind of view things the same way. I don't think that's a bad thing. So here's what I have. I got Josh Allen at quarterback.
Okay.
For my running backs, I have James Conner and David Johnson. My flex play is Justin Jackson.
Okay.
Okay, my wide receivers are Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, and Jerry Jeudy.
All right.
My tight end is Hayden Hurst, and my defense is the Vikings against the Detroit Lions.
Ooh, okay. All right, yeah, pretty good. What's Jackson's price, by the way?
Jackson's price is $4,900.
Okay, so he's too much for me to slide in for Breida, no surprise there. But yeah, I'll have to keep an eye out on that one.
Al. All right. Give us your weekly tournament lineup, please.
I will, but I also feel like we buried the lead a little bit because a listener of the show, friend of the podcast apparently, G. Hartman 314, took down the Millionaire Maker this week.
Totally right.
Totally forgot. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So cheers to him. He built a very solid lineup along the lines of what we're talking about here with high correlation. We're going to talk about it again this week. I've got Deshaun Watson going to Brandon Cooks. I'm bringing that back with James Robinson on Jacksonville, who I think is going to get a ton of service both in the passing game and on the ground. Dalvin Cook correlate with the Vikings defense. I also have Lockett to John Brown, so another correlation in that lineup. Mm-hmm. Trey Burton, because he fit, and he's the best goal line running back on Indy right now. Mm-hmm. And Justin Jackson in the flex as a one-off.
There you go. Love it.
I like it. Some good options there. Just real quick, give me a showdown lineup for tonight's game. And were you able to put any 49ers into this lineup?
I was. I did. Again, we use the optimizer, so these are your best values. Devontae Adams is the captain. No surprise there. Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And how about this? Tyler Irvin and Dexter Williams. And again, this assumes Aaron Jones is out. They're both 200. They're both punt options here.
$200.
Both of them. So I used them both. Nick Mullins at quarterback and Jamichael Hasty at running back. And that's a kind of a weird combo to have the quarterback and a running back. But I think that could actually work with Mullins giving you a decent floor and Hasty just killing it. I think he has a chance to have a huge game.
Let me ask you this question without knowing enough about how the showdown lineup works. Tyler Irvin or Dexter Williams, tell me why you wouldn't want to make them your captain, understanding how cheap your captain play would be and everyone else you could put in your lineup. Is there just not enough left on the slate to make it feel like it's worth going that low at the captain position.
It's kind of funny. If you sat down and did that, I'm pretty sure you would have a hard time filling the rest of it up, right?
Because really there's no 49ers.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think any of them is going to have a game like Davante Adams that, you know, the guy could score three touchdowns and have 180 yards. You know that, right? I don't think either running back will sort of get to that point, but I think Hasty's an excellent captain option as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have an answer here if you want. Bring that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just talked about this last week, actually, because somebody asked me the same or a similar question at that. Essentially, you want to plow in the guys that you think at captain are going to be the highest scoring guy in the game. Because mm-hmm. more often than not, if somebody has a 30 or a 40 point game, you multiply that by 1.5 on DraftKings, you're going to need that amount of points in your captain spot. Where a $200 guy, if he gets you like 10 points, that gets you 15.
Right.
Maybe you can pile in enough points with the salary, but more often than not, that guy's going to be more valuable to you in the flex. And the higher scoring player is going to be more valuable to you in the captain spot.
So you articulated that way better than me.
It's just not something that's very common.
So
it's
you're
really an outlier.
If I break that down in layman's terms, is you want a smash play in the captain spot. Is that correct?
That is exactly how you should put it.
Okay. Yes. I want a smash play, like okay. Adams or household names Michael Hasty.
As a reminder, please join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes.
Don't be hasty. Set your lineup.
Oh, my gosh. I can't anymore. Do you want to say goodbye?
Bye.
We appreciate everybody listening. Thank you to everyone for hanging out with us.
I can't
Al, thank you for being here again this week. We will see you next week. And stay safe out there in Los Angeles.
I mean, it's going to be like 88 degrees here today.
Okay. All right.
We're getting a warm weekend.
Mike and I get in the Northeast, get a little bit of a warm weekend. We hope everybody goes out there and stays safe. Over the weekend, there's a lot going on right now, so continue, please, to love each other. Tell people how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, and just be the person that you want people to be to you. How about that? How about you just give everyone the same respect that you want people to give to you? All right. For Mike and Al, I am Daniel. We will see you guys next week.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.